Ephesians chapter 6. Last week, we finished up our sermon series on the seven churches in the book of Revelation and looked at the blessings or the promises that God had given those churches and just a lot of stuff, good stuff. This morning, I believe I'm preaching a message that is that God has directly led me to, and it's kind of a sermon and kind of a teaching. I have gone back and pulled out from some previous messages that I have preached at various times and places and given us just some thoughts that I want to share with you this morning that are scriptural. Let me just say it this way. We live in a mixed up world, don't we? What an appropriate time for this message in regards to the content in relation to what or praying for our president this morning and just thinking about what's going on in our country. We're not going to get political in regards to our discussions this morning, but I'm just going to say this, that there's a whole lot of mixed up thinking in this world. Not all of it is in Washington. A whole lot of it's over in Hollywood, let's face it. But I would dare say that there's even some of it in here this morning. And as I talk to individuals and as I begin to learn individual stories and I see struggles that individuals may be going through, I see just a lot of thinking that does not line up with God's Word. And you see that I have up on the PowerPoint this statement, the battle is for your mind. And then underneath that, the statement, don't give the devil a place. So we're going to talk this morning about proper thinking and how to acquire proper thinking and how to know that when you are not thinking properly. And believe me, this is a much more exhaustive topic than what we're going to cover in one sermon. So let me just go ahead and say this. I'm going to give you a whole lot of information this morning that you're going to have to take with you and assimilate on your own. I'm not going to cover everything in detail like it should be covered, but I'm going to give you a lot to think about. And I would say that when you leave this place this morning, you should go back and review any notes that you've taken or listen to the sermon again on Facebook or on our website and think through these things and ask God to give you wisdom in discerning your own thinking patterns. A few years ago, I preached a sermon series entitled The Pulling Down of Strongholds, and I used as my guide the writings of a man by the name of Dr. R.B. Ouellette. He pastors a church up in Michigan, and he had preached a series of sermons to his church on pulling down strongholds. And in doing that, he did quite a bit of research, and I asked him if I could use his material, and he said, by all means, go right ahead. We're in a battle. I'm not holding back any ammunition. You use anything that I have. And so I'm giving him credit for some of the points this morning. You may not be able to discern his from mine, but I just want to give him credit as I go through some things this morning that he put quite a bit of thought into this. And I'm going to share with you some of those thoughts. And before we begin, I want to have a word of prayer, and then we'll jump into God's Word. Our Father, we thank You for the truth of Your Word, that it is always true, that even as has been prayed this morning, it is inspired, it can be trusted, it has been preserved through the ages, and Lord, it is just as sound and true today as the day that it was penned, that we can pick it up, and when it says, thus saith the Lord, we know that thus saith the Lord. It has power, it has authority, and God, our thinking and our thoughts need to be in line with the truth of Your Word. Would You open our minds this morning to where they may not be in line with Your Word, and help us, dear God, to bring our thinking in line with it. Help us to be conformed to the image of Your Son. Father, I thank You for the folks that are in this room this morning. I pray, Lord, that You will set aside Satan's purposes in each heart and life this morning. Lord, as I sense a spiritual battle this morning that is intense, God, I pray that You will defeat the purposes of Satan. We know he's already a defeated foe, and he only has power in our lives as we give him place. And I pray this morning, Lord, that You would not allow him to influence our hearts and minds, but Lord, to open our minds to the teaching of Your Word, and through the power of Your Holy Spirit, help us and allow us, Lord, to apply the truths that we learn and walk out of here this morning with a desire to please You even more so and evaluate our thinking and bring it in line with Yours. Father, we pray all of these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I want to share with you just a few verses of Scripture before I get started this morning. And I want you to understand that the battle for our minds is real. Isaiah 5 and verse 20, it says this, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness. Don't we have a lot of that going on in our world today? We have a lot of folks looking over here and calling things that are obviously wicked and wrong and contrary to God's word, calling them good. And then you have them looking over here to those that stand up for truth and calling that evil. And there's just a lot of this mixed up thinking that's going on in our world. And God says, woe unto them. One day He'll set all things straight. In Isaiah 29 and verse 16, the scripture says this, surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say to him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say to him that framed it, he had no understanding? What do we have going on here? We have an analogy given to us by Isaiah as God is speaking in this passage, and He's saying, you've turned things upside down. You're like a pot that I have made, and I'm the potter. And as I've made that taken that clay and formed it into what I wanted you to be, you turn around and look at me and say, you didn't make me. How foolish it is to look to God and say, you didn't make me. Or to look to God and say, you don't have any understanding. I know what I'm doing and I know what I'm talking about. I've got this figured out. I don't need you, God. And I have to ask this question, how did the people in this situation even get to this point in their thinking? Well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 and begin reading with me in verse number 10. And I want you to notice here that there is an intentional order in the armor of God that is given to us in this passage. We're going to be in a lot of passages this morning, so be ready to flip around and to take notes and to read and go in different places in your Bible. But beginning in verse number 10, Paul writes, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's a reason that we're standing in the power of God's might, and that is because we're against an enemy that is stronger than we are, and that's the devil. Verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There is this wrestling match that goes on continually. And let me say this morning, Christian, and please, would you give me your eyes for just a moment, and then we'll look back down at the scripture. Please understand this, that the battle takes place whether you're aware of it or not. It takes place. It is a spiritual battle. I appreciate the men that were up here this morning. They represent our armed forces and our police force. But they represent a physical force to protect and serve our state and our country. But just as real as the need for those men to protect and serve our families and our country and our state is a need for you and I to apply the armor of God to our lives to protect us spiritually. Do we get it? Verse 13, wherefore? Because these verses are true. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I'm going to stop there. The sentence goes on, but we're going to stop right there for our purposes this morning. And let me just remind us that the spirit world is real and we need this armor. Now, this armor has been given to us in a particular order, and that order is on purpose. There is an intentional ordering of this. Let's begin with the first one, and I am not going to take time to discuss all of this armor. I just want to ask us a question this morning in regards to it, and we're going to use it as a kickoff to keep moving. But what about this loins girt about with truth? That's the very first one, truth. Truth as opposed to lies. It goes contrary to what we read in Isaiah chapter 5 where evil is called good, because now we're talking about truth. And you need to have it around your loins. It kind of reminds me of how we ingest food, and as we take it and digest it and give our bodies strength. And you know the old saying, you are what you eat. And the way that your health partially is determined by what you take into your body. And so here we have from the very beginning, we're told to have our loins girt about with truth, and we have to have truth before any of the rest of this armor will be effective. But what happens when we're not truthful? What happens when we are embracing lies? When we're willing to endorse things that are not quite truthful, what happens then? And then he says the breastplate of righteousness. What happens when we're not living a righteous life? When we're willing to let a little sin into our lives and our breastplate of righteousness is not there, what happens then? And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What happens, Christian, when we stop fulfilling the Great Commission? When we have the truth, but we don't share the truth. And we don't take what we have and know what we know to be true, and we don't share it with others. What happens then? And he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We must have faith that what God says is right, even if it goes against my thinking. What happens when we stop living by faith and we start living by pragmatism? What happens then? To take the shield of faith is to live by God's principles and then to trust Him with the end result. What happens when we don't do that anymore in our lives and our shield of faith comes down? And he says, take the helmet of salvation. The helmet covers our head. And what happens when we no longer allow our salvation to affect our thinking? That is the imagery here. Please get that. When we allow our salvation to protect our thinking, it guards us from falsehood. And what happens when we stop looking at the world through the eyes of our eternal salvation? What happens when we take on the thinking of this temporal world? What is the end result? And what about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God? When we stop applying the Word of God to our lives, when the sword of the Spirit is what's used to work in our lives to conform us to Christ, what happens when we no longer spend time in the Bible and we no longer give the Holy Spirit the tool that it needs to work in our lives and we drop the sword of the Spirit? And what about praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance? What happens when our prayer life go stale, when each piece of the armor is not applied as it should be? What is the end result? What happens when we allow one piece of our armor to drop by the wayside? The answer is in verses 11 and 12. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You make yourself susceptible to the wiles of the devil. Go back to chapter 4 of this book, please. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 25. It says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. You see the importance of truth there and the need to set aside lies. Verse number 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. What do we see happening here? When the armor is not applied, the enemy gets a place in our life. We give place to the devil. When we are not properly protected from his attacks, we actually give place to the devil. Now, let me talk a little bit about this word. And for those of you that have been around here a while, you know what this word means. We've talked about it before, but here it is. The word place is a word that means, the word translated place is the word topos. It is the word from which we get the word topography, as in the lay of the land. It is a word that has to do with real estate, that has to do with the ground that you stand upon. And so what is talked about here is that we can literally give the devil a piece of topos in our life. We can give him a piece of real estate. We can give him a piece of ground in our life to stand upon. And when we give the devil a place in our lives, we open ourselves up to strongholds. Sin yields to the devil a stronghold in our life because it gives him a place to claim as his right to be there and to fight against us. We literally give our enemy a place to come into our life and to park and to fight us from. We open our minds to the devil. This is a battle for the mind. And in case you are doubting that, go with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I want us to see this. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 3, but before I do, I would like to read to you Proverbs 24 and verse 9. In Proverbs 24 and verse 9, the Bible says this, the thought of foolishness is sin. The thought of foolishness is sin. Do we realize the impact of that verse of Scripture? To even spend time thinking on foolishness is sin. How much of what you put into your mind, Christian, from day to day is foolishness? How much of what you put into your mind this week is foolishness? How many of us turned on the television last night and knowing that we were coming to God's house this morning and we watched programs that literally promoted sin and put foolishness into our minds? Understand this morning that the thought of foolishness is sin. And sin gives place to the devil. Place is tapos, that is ground, and sin literally gives Satan a piece of property in our life, that is your mind, to stand and to fight against you from. You're literally giving your enemy a stronghold. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I want us to begin reading in verse number 3 as the Apostle Paul continues to write on this topic. He says this, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations." By the way, where do imaginations take place? In the mind. And that word for imaginations is a word that has to do with reasoning or thinking through things. It is not what sometimes we think of when we think of imaginations. We think of fantasies or a dream world or whatever the case may be. That is not the idea here behind this word. The idea behind this word is something that you've actually thought about, something that you have meditated on. It is something that is a musing, and you may have even organized thoughts in your mind in regards to it. And so what he's saying here is that the Word of God is mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, even to the point where it affects our thinking, and we can cast down wrong thinking, imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Knowledge is something that we store in our mind, and bringing into captivity every, what's the next word? Thought. Are you all with me this morning? Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Do we understand how all of this takes place in our mind? Well, let's define this word stronghold from a biblical standpoint. I've put it into this definition, which I believe is 100% scriptural, to help us get an idea of how this message should affect us. A stronghold is a faulty thinking pattern based on lies and deception, which gives Satan power in our lives. You remember the story of Lot in Genesis 19? We're not going to go there for the sake of time because we have many other things that we need to go over this morning. But in Genesis 19, Lot's daughters caused their father to get drunk. And then they committed the sin of incest with their father. And we have to ask the question, what caused these girls to even ponder such a wicked sin? And I think if you know anything of the Old Testament, you would understand the answer to that question. They had been exposed to it in the city of Sodom. And their mind was used to seeing wicked things and was used to wicked thinking going on around them. By the way, parents, should that send up alarms to us? Those of you that have children in your home, you understand the role that you play in helping to direct your children's thoughts, and what you allow to go on around them is constantly being absorbed by their mind. Let's face it, the mind of a child is an amazing thing, is it not? I mean, they can see you and imitate you without you even realizing what they're doing. Our own granddaughter, one day I was discussing with her parents, we were all together, and our own granddaughter was there, and she did something. And I just turned to her parents and I made a comment about, you know, the way she does that is so cute. And as soon as I said that, you know what she did? She did it again. As in, okay, if it's cute, I want your attention. Here I go. Kids absorb so much. Parents, we need to be careful. And if we look closely at the passage with Lot, we see that Lot and his wife had a stronghold of wrong thinking, which they passed on to their daughters. And parents, get the significance of your role in your child's thinking. You are responsible for what goes into their young minds. You cannot dwell on wrong thoughts without it affecting you, folks, and affecting those around you. Now I want to borrow some truths from Brother Roulette, and he thought through these things well and put them into writing. And those of you that take notes, you'll probably want to take these down. We're not going to spend a lot of time on each, but I want us to spend enough time to get an idea of what each one of these points means. You have a stronghold in your life if your mind keeps focusing on a particular event from the past. Talked to a man a while back who generally is a mild-mannered man, but when I brought up one topic, he turned angry and his disposition was obviously changed. And there was that one topic that upset him and he couldn't get over it. If someone enters the room this morning, and I heard a preacher say this a while back as my wife and I were on vacation and visited a church, and we knew the church and the pastor, and we just wanted to be there on our vacation, and it was in another state. And as we stopped there, he was preaching and he said something like this. He said, if someone enters this room and your mind goes back to a hurt that they caused you and you just can't get over it, the devil has gained ground in your life. I want us to think about that just a moment. Let that soak in, because there's so much of that that goes on. And I'm going to tell you, in my time of counseling people, there are so many individuals with the root of bitterness or insecurity because of wrong thinking patterns, or just makes foolish decisions because their thoughts are based upon things that are not true. And maybe it's not a person that has hurt you in the past. Maybe it's another event from your past that you rehearse over and over, and it just keeps you from moving forward in your spiritual life. Do you understand that if that is the case, the devil has tapas in your life and he's quite happy to keep you there? You have a stronghold if you're committed to a course of action that goes contrary to Scripture. If you know that you're going against the principles of God's Word, if you know that the truth and you explain it away and you go contrary to the truth anyway, Satan has gained tapas in your ground or in your life. Do you remember the story of Balaam in the Old Testament? Balaam the prophet. And Balak had come to Balaam and had offered him money if he would just curse Israel for him. And Balaam started to do that, and God wouldn't let him. And you need to understand there that God sent warning signs to Balaam. Y'all may remember, if you don't remember the whole story, you may remember the part of Balaam's donkey as Balaam was riding to the place where Balak wanted him to stand on the mountain and to curse Israel. And that donkey pushed Balaam's foot into the wall and crushed his foot. And Balaam got off the donkey and talked to the donkey and said, if I had a board, I would whoop you right now. Pardon me, that's Southern style right there. I'd whoop you, donkey, if I had one. And the donkey looked back at him and talked to him. You remember that? I think I would have given up my project right then and said, I'm not dealing with a talking donkey. I'm going home. God sent him warning signs, but Balaam was so consumed with receiving the money that Balak had promised him, that he was set to this course of action, even though it went contrary to God's word. And I got news for you. God continued to send warning signs, and it got to the point to where that the warning signs became stronger and stronger, and Balaam continued to give resistance. And when Balaam continued to give resistance, he finally carried his plan out. And if you continue to read, Israel and God's people overall since then have suffered, and Balaam himself died a violent death. It doesn't pay to have a course of action contrary to Scripture. And if you have committed to a course of action and you know that it goes contrary to Scripture, there is a stronghold in your mind. You have a stronghold if you resist the Word of God. When you hear it preached or you read it for yourself in the Bible and you say, that's fine, but it's not for me, and you do not make application in your life, then the devil has gained tapas. Go with me to James chapter 1. I want to show you in James chapter 1 a verse of Scripture that will help bring this to light. James 1, we're going to read verse number 22, a verse of Scripture that you all are familiar with. It says in James 1, 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And then do you see the last phrase? Deceiving your own selves. Let me say this in regards to this passage. To learn truth without applying it leads to deception. To learn truth without applying it leads to deception. James says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If you are continuing to hear truth and to stack it up and to stock it up and to pile it up in your own heart and your own mind, but there is never application of that truth, it leads to deceit. Now, the worst thing about deceit is when you're being deceived, you don't know that you're being deceived, right? When you're being deceived, you think you have the truth. But to know Scripture and to resist it and not to apply it leads to that deception. You know, sometimes we're quick to make the application for another person's life. We sit there and we think, boy, I hope he heard that. I hope she heard that. There was one Sunday morning after I preached a while back that as an individual came by me, they shook my hand and said, thank you, that was a needed message. And she looks over her shoulder to her husband and goes, like that. And I'm thinking, you need to get rid of that pitchfork and you need to take it yourself into your own heart and mind. Pardon me, y'all may not be familiar with a pitchfork. It's used to throw, never mind. You have a stronghold if you focus on actions of others in order to defend your behavior. If your justification for your behavior is based on the actions of others, the devil has a topos in your life. Please understand, I'm not saying you weren't hurt. And I'm not saying that your hurt was not real. You may have even been in the right, and the other person may have been completely in the wrong. But I want to ask us a question this morning. Did Jesus deserve to be spit upon, to be beaten, to be humiliated, to be mocked and hated? Did Jesus Christ deserve the death of the cross and all that was meant by that death? And the answer to that is, of course not. Jesus didn't deserve any of it, but he never used the wrong actions of others to justify stepping away from the plan that God has for his life. He never acted in unrighteousness just because others acted in unrighteousness. My friend, Jesus Christ is our example. And if you focus on the actions of others in order to defend your behavior, the devil has gained the top horse in your life. And there's a stronghold in your thinking that needs to be defeated. Well, you have a stronghold if you're defensive when biblically confronted by spiritual leaders. I'm not going to spend much time here this morning, but I am going to give you the point so that you can ponder on it and think on it yourself. But God puts authority in our lives for a reason. And when we become defensive, when we are biblically confronted, and that is done properly, then we know that there's a stronghold in our thinking. You have a stronghold if your mind holds unscriptural idea. We know that the culture is full of ideas that are contrary to Scripture, right? We know that the culture around us is just full of ideas that are contrary to Scripture. All it takes is just a little bit of time to get on the internet and search the latest news topics or watch the news to figure out what that is and that that does exist. Was it last Wednesday night or two Wednesday nights ago? I can't remember. I read a new law to the church that was passed over in California, and we need to pray for our brothers and sisters in California because now they're trying to regulate what they can preach, what they can't preach, and telling them that if they preach anything that goes contrary to the sodomite style of life, that they're that it's hate and that it would be illegal at that point. So we need to pray for those folks over there. But our culture is full of ideas that go contrary to Scripture. Recently, I was sent an article about a British court that declared this: the Bible is incompatible with human dignity. Now, that was in Britain, but it won't be long before it's here in the States at the rate we're going, right? So my friend, if your mind holds an unscriptural idea, and it may not be as bold as that, it may not be nearly as bold as those examples, but there may be things in your life that is unscriptural and you have a hold of that idea and you just won't change your mind. Don't bother me with Scripture, Pastor York. I already know what I know. And if that's the case in your life, then there is a topos there that the devil has. We need to be like King David, who literally asked God to search us and try our hearts and know if there be any wicked way in us. We need to be willing to do that. Well, if you have a stronghold in your life, it must be destroyed, or Satan will give you thoughts and weaken your Christian life. You will never live the victorious, vibrant Christian life that God intends for you to live. So how do we get rid of it? To destroy strongholds, here they are. Number one, there must be an acknowledgement. Now, this was borrowed from Brother R.B. Ouellette. The truth is good. The truth is biblical. I'm not the type of guy that will make all of my points poetic or matching, but he is, and so I just took them straight from him. But I want you to understand that there has to be an admission of our sin. If you want to destroy a stronghold in your life, you have to admit that it's sin. The first step is to recognize that our thinking that goes contrary to Scripture. Do not justify it. Admit it for what it is. When destroying wrong thinking patterns, we must focus on truth. And it may not be easy, but we must. When your feelings get in the way and there is a desire to justify wrong thinking, you must focus on what you know is truth. And that is the first step. Number two, there has to be an affliction. We need to realize the ugliness of our sin and we need to repent. In order to do this, we must see it through God's eyes. In the world that we live in, unless it is a terribly gross sin, our sin does not look so ugly in man's eyes. As a matter of fact, we may look pretty good to some people, or look compared to some people around us. But in God's eyes, it is ugly, and we need to understand it as such. Repent of it. Tell God how ugly it is and how vulgar it is, and seek forgiveness. If you don't, you won't go any further. Well, there has to be an attack. That is, read and meditate on Scripture. The Scripture is the sword of the Spirit. Our mind must be saturated with truth. It's the only way to renew our minds. God's Word is true through all generations, right? Man's ideas are to be subject to God's truth. Aren't you glad that God's truth is true in every generation? That each generation didn't have their chance to manipulate it a little bit and twist it a little bit and force their ideas on it. I mean, aren't you glad that God's Word stays God's Word? Oh, praise God for the truth of His Word. It's like a mirror, the Bible tells us, that we look into. Don't walk away deceiving yourself. If you look into that mirror, allow it to change you. You must meditate on God's Word. You must saturate yourself with God's Word. It's the only way to renew our minds. And then there has to be an approach, that is, an approach to God. Draw near to God. Develop your relationship with Him. My friend, when a predator, such as a wolf, attacks a flock of sheep, he does not attack the one that is closest to the shepherd, right? He attacks the ones that are on the outside fringes because they are the easiest prey. Those that are on the outside are usually the weakest. They may even be ill. And if that describes your spiritual condition and you're on the outside fringes, odds are the devil has his eye on you if he hasn't already attacked you, whether you realize it or not. And so if you want to break down the strongholds of wrong thinking, you must develop a relationship with God and be close to Him. When you're spending quality time with God every day and your relationship with Him begins to get sweeter and begins to get closer, then your thoughts will begin to line up with His thoughts. David said, "I thought on your word, therefore I hate every wicked way." And when our mind becomes saturated with the Word of God, truth becomes more evident, error becomes more evident, and we make choices that are more in tune with God's Word. Well, there must be an attitude of humility. Stay teachable. We must be willing to change our thinking. Now, if the devil has a top horse in your life, it will be very difficult to root out the old thinking. But that old thinking cannot coexist with truth. It may be very difficult. It will be hard to swallow our pride and to say, "I've been looking at this wrong." But the reward is freedom from bondage to the stronghold of wrong thinking. We must swallow our pride. Let me ask this question this morning. Is it worth swallowing our pride to gain the freedom from deceived thinking? And the answer is yes. As long as it applies to everybody else, right? Oh, we just need to swallow our pride. Listen, it would do some of us good just to come up here and get on our knees at the altar just to say, "God, I want to humble myself before You, and I don't care if everybody sees it." But there must be an attitude of humility. We must stay teachable. Then there must be an acquiescence. What does that mean? That means a surrender. We must humbly yield to God in His work. God's desire for you is the best. You have to understand that. We may put ourselves in bad situations, and let's face it, a lot of times we may look at God and say, "God, why am I here?" When the truth of the matter is, you're there because you made a wrong choice a while back. And we may put ourselves in bad situations because of our own choices, but if we yield, God can teach us more about Himself through those things, reconcile us, bring us back, and then use us to minister to others. You may be in a situation that is not of your own doing. It may just be that God allowed things to come into your life just for the purpose of teaching you more about Himself. And as we go through that, it's the principle of what Jesus said to Peter when He said, "Peter, the devil hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But when you're converted, then minister to your brethren." Help your brethren. God wants us close to Him with right thinking patterns, with a relationship in Him that is rich and full, and that we gain our security and our self-image and all of those things in our relationship with Him. And then we can minister to others. So there has to be a humble yielding of God's work in our life. And then there must be an appreciation. Rejoice over what God has done for you and praise Him. We need to understand, Christian, the power of God to transform our mind if we yield to Him. There is such a power in yielding to God's Word and letting His Word transform our thinking. We have no idea what will happen if we surrender completely to God in our thinking. The other day, as I was talking to Tony Orham after church in the hallway, he made the comment, he said, "I'm just writing down a testimony of how God has used the Word of God, the Bible, to totally change my thinking." And Christian, it will, and we need to rejoice in the freedom from deceived thinking and from sin in Christ. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4, please. Philippians chapter 4. So we look at one final verse of Scripture this morning. We're going to begin reading in verse number 7, please. Philippians 4, verse 7. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and," what's the next word? "Minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Our thoughts need to be established. Now, Christian, we're not going to go through and talk about every one of those words. We've done that before from this pulpit, and at some point we may do it again. But the point in coming here is this. Verse 8 tells us how our thoughts are to be established. And if you violate that, then you are setting yourself up for giving the devil topos in your life. But it doesn't end there. Look at verse number 9. "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me," what's the next word? "Do. And the peace of God shall be with you." Verse number 8 establishes our thoughts. Verse number 9 establishes our actions. Do you see the order? This is the proper order. Thoughts first, then actions. You see, God gives us the qualifications for things that are worthy of our thoughts in verse 8. Don't violate that or you're going to damage your spiritual condition. And then He tells us in verse number 9 to do these things. And so we have here the proper order of the way it works in developing proper thinking. Let me say this morning, Christian. Your mind is a gift from God, and it must be given to Him in order to protect us from wrong thinking. Give it back to God and say, "God, I want to use it for You." Don't give topos to the devil. Would you bow your head with me this morning, please? In just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation, an opportunity for you to pray to God and respond to Him according to however He has responded to you. That it may be this morning that the Lord has opened your eyes to some things, whether it be in your own life or maybe as a parent in your home and responsibilities, or maybe you've just not seen the importance of proper thinking. Maybe you've not even considered the things that you let into your mind. And maybe it's just been carelessness. But if it is, please understand that in that carelessness, the devil can gain topos. He can gain a place in our life. Our Father, we ask this morning that Your Holy Spirit will have freedom from one side of the room to the other. Lord, this is such a needed topic. Lord, there's just so much more here than what we can go into in one sermon. But God, I pray that Your Holy Spirit will take the things that were covered this morning and will embed them within our hearts and help us, Lord, to truly see areas in our lives where our thinking does not line up with You. And then will You accomplish Your will in our lives this morning. Lord, I pray that each person here will be completely surrendered. And Lord, we'll walk out of here doing exactly what you have asked them to do this morning. I pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.